In the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here. It is a bit early. Did you notice how Gary did not start with the normal intentions? That's because we want to help you set your intentions as you leave here for your new lives as they exist through those doors and off this premises and back home where you go. Your lives are forever changed as a result of this experience. This experience has never happened before in the history of Earth. What you can take with you from this will completely determine how you live the rest of your life. This one event changes everything from this point forward. Who you are now is a completely different version of you than who you were when you came on Friday. Can you imagine that difference? For you, you seem to think you're the same person. You believe that the experiences that you had on Friday, on Saturday, and even today were simply experiences. But they were much greater than that. Your perception of reality has completely changed from when it was Thursday evening to what it is today to what it will be when you leave here. When you leave here, you have a new idea of what life is all about. You have a new appreciation for every moment. You have an appreciation for the fact that each one of you is perfect. You can see that. You don't need anyone to be different than they are here. You can understand that you are perfect as you are, that you cannot get any better, that you can expand. But the version of you that existed on Thursday night was a perfect version of you. And the version of you that exists right now is also a perfect version of you. And the difference is the expansion that happened in that time period. But everyone else in your life is perfect as they are. And they all had expansive experiences while you were here, right? So when you go home, you will interact with a different version of them. Now, the interesting thing is that because this is your universe, you can literally make them anything you want them to be. So if you interact with those around you in a loving way, not expecting love from them, do you need to be loved? Does anyone need to be loved? If you need to be loved, then you will want to control the behaviors of others so that you can verify that they love you. Because if they don't love you, then you believe that there's something either wrong with you or them, right? You only need to express your love. In expressing your love, you are self-centered. You realize that you are not plugging into them for approval or love or validation or guidance or acceptance or anything. You are plugging in to your inner self. Your inner self and your millions love you unconditionally. That's all the love that you need. The love that you perceive coming from others is however you perceive it to be. You can perceive the same exact statement any way you want to perceive it, the same look on their face any way you want to perceive it. It's up to you how you perceive that love. It's up to you to realize that you are worthy of being loved in however they choose to love you. Do not take your love experience from others, but instead give your love that you are bringing forth from the non-physical to others. And that love is nothing more than acceptance of who they are in any way, shape, or form that they happen to be. Because how they are, it's perfect. And you will notice the more you allow them to be who they are, the more they'll allow you to be who you are. You will just notice it. Because the more you can accept others, the more you can accept yourself. And so when you are perceiving comments or statements or actions or conditions coming from other people, your perception of that reality is based on your perception of yourself. You understand that? That's how it's always been. It's always been an inside game. It's never been anything on the outside. It always seems like it was. And so in the old approach to life, you would control how others perceived you by being good or being nice or spending money or not spending money or whatever, or acting on your fears or having them be a certain way so that you wouldn't feel fear. Well, now you can understand that everything that exists in your reality comes forth from the vibration you're offering. And if you feel negative emotion, you're simply noticing that there's a wobble in your own vibration, not in the person that's making you feel that way. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's all it is. So a negative emotion is caused by fear. A fear is triggered by a limiting belief. Right? The limiting belief is triggered on purpose through a manifestation event so that you can see that this is the thing that's holding you back from getting what you want. Whatever it is you want, that limiting belief. Right? So this is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But don't blame the other person or the conditions or try to control that so you don't feel these limiting beliefs or get to have them exposed. Be thankful that you do. And if you can do that, my God, can you imagine the power that you'll have?
No, I can't imagine it.
It'll be bursting forth. And this is why we say that the version of you that exists now is a fraction of who you really are. And the only difference between who you authentically are is not the amount of fear that you feel. It's the ability to realize that the fear is coming from some limiting belief about something and not from the outside conditions. So that's the only switch there is to turn on. The switch that it's coming forth from me rather than it's coming from outside me without my control. The switch that it's for me and not happening to me. The idea that I may not know how it's for me, but I can have faith that it is for me. And so let's just take 5 seconds to figure it out, to think about it just longer than instinctively saying the other person's wrong, or that that's wrong, or I'm worthy because of whatever, right? Just think about it. That's all you have to do. And when you think about it, who's going to respond to you? Source. Your millions, somebody has the information, right? There's got to be somebody out there. Right? It's not just you who's bringing it forth. You have a support system that is beyond definition. And they want to see you do well. And you are doing well. You're doing amazingly well. This is going to be an abbreviated session. We are going to set our intentions. Our intentions are to go forth, mix it up, and see if we can process that fear. See if we can push ourselves a little bit further. See if we can be a little more authentic. See if we can express a little more love and compassion for those who are going through fear themselves. Don't try and modify the conditions so they don't feel fear. Allow them to feel the fear. Don't change who you are so that they don't feel fear, but don't get mad at them for being in fear and acting in ways that are based in their fear instead of their love. Because those people who are acting in love are nice to be around. You are all acting in love and you're all nice to be around. But sometimes you feel fear and you're going to be responding with urges or compulsions to do or say things that aren't generally taken nice and don't resonate with who you really are. Big deal, right? And other people can do that too. Big deal, no big deal. So let's intend to be as empathetic as possible and to be as loving as possible. And then to realize that when fear pops up, things are going to happen. Big deal. But think about it maybe the next day or the next week or when you can and realize what the information is coming through and who's giving it to you. And if you can do that, that's all you need to do. Who has something to talk about? Nikki! You there in the third row.
So I was really afraid to ask a question.
Because?
Because I get really shy in front of people. Can you believe it?
No. You are a quiet type, aren't you?
Yes, very subdued. So first of all, thank you, because I've had glimpses of how magnificent I am. And that's an amazing thing. And so, of course, I want more. And I know that it's coming. I don't know if it was a manifestation event, but it was for me in that when Deborah Jo announced that I would be tapping, I was filled with fear. And then when I tapped with Mark and I saw how good he was, I was like, no way. I can't do that in front of all those people. And then, you know, it sort of just evolved over the last 2 days. And I realized yesterday after listening to you, I don't have to do anything I don't want to do. And what kind of freedom is that? It's like, and then like the judgment of you're so chicken, you know, as soon as it gets hard, I bail. Like when I see these magnificent creators, these women who are extremely successful, I'm like, wow, that's for them, not for me. I like it small and safe. So, I was thinking about, you know, since I've been with you and on this journey, it's been about reducing my limiting beliefs. And I was thinking, how cool would it be to like enhance my beneficial beliefs? So when I am reducing through the process my fears and my limiting beliefs, am I enhancing my beneficial beliefs?
When you have a beneficial belief, you'll feel joy. That will be a sign of a beneficial belief. You'll feel goosebumps. You'll feel excitement. You'll feel as you feel when you're dancing, right? So when you're dancing, what are you saying to yourself?
I'm not saying anything.
Well, you're thinking something.
I'm okay. Like, enjoy.
Imagine the difference in the way you feel when you are in a crowd of people with tapping one person and demonstrating your tapping ability to this crowd of people. Or when you're in a crowd of people and you're dancing. Right?
Yeah.
Two different things.
Totally.
Now, when you're up there dancing, you've had years and years and years and years and years and years of getting over the fear of dancing. Because the first day you ever danced, you felt like the first day you would ever tap in front of someone, right?
Right.
So now that you've had years and you understand how good you are at dancing.
Yeah.
Imagine years later when you feel the same way about tapping. Imagine the day you started teaching children, and imagine how you feel now. The first day you started teaching children, you did not feel the way you feel now. You had to push through a fear then. You had to push through a fear the first time you ever danced, right?
Yes.
And you did it. And that is the enhancing of the beneficial belief. Once you've done something, once you've pushed through that fear, that's enhancing a beneficial belief. The belief is, I can do it. I can push through the fear, right? It's okay to say that I don't have to do anything I want to do, and you can succumb to fear.
Yeah.
But you're going to have two experiences of that.
Right.
You're going to have the experience of being scared in front of people, doing something that you do not perceive you are perfect at yet, right? But are getting there. And you're going to have the experience of not doing that, of feeling the fear and of not doing what you're inspired to do because of the fear.
Yeah.
So either experience is going to be a manifestation event.
Yeah.
Right? But which one is more empowering? It's the pushing through the fear.
Don't tell me that.
It's the pushing through the fear.
I like going with just, you know, you can say no.
You can say no. But you did not come here to say no. You came here to say yes. Right? You came here to experience what it is to say no, because in the non-physical, you don't ever say no, where no doesn't exist. If you're with your group and they say, hey, let's go watch someone dance, you're saying yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, I think I'm just impatient. Like, I want to be there with
everyone wants
the whole tunnel.
Everyone wants the same thing. Everyone has the same fears. Everyone is either pushing through their fears or succumbing to them. Everyone, if Mark was here tapping, he would have the same fears you have, but he would be pushing through the fears, right? And you assume that Mark is at a different level, but you don't know, right? So you can make up whatever you want to make up. When Gary was first a waiter, had never waited before, on tables before, had told the restaurant owner that he'd been a waiter for years, he had to pretend he was a waiter, right? That's all you have to do is pretend that you're a tapper. No one's going to know, right? No one's going to know any difference. Yeah, and they're going to say,
Mark's going to know the difference.
Mark won't know. Mark will say, I can't do it that way. That's amazing. Look at how she's doing it. I don't want to go up after her, right? Yeah. Now, Mark might say, I do it differently, and I have a more comfortable way of doing it for me, but the way he'll never be able to do it the way you do it. He'll never be able to teach children English or French or whatever. He'll never be able to dance like you, right?
No way.
Yeah. 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 And you'll never have eyebrows like him.
Yeah. No way.
So stop worrying about it, what anyone thinks, because who cares, right? Who cares what they think? Who cares if they think it's nonsense? Who cares if they think it's the most wonderful thing in the world? Who cares if it changes their lives or doesn't change their life? All you want to do is enjoy doing this to people. Right?
Yeah. That and other things.
And getting paid big bucks for doing this to people. That's all you want. You don't care how they feel. It doesn't matter. But you will notice that when you do something out of joy and out of the benefit to others, you're not doing it because you like to hit people in the head. You're doing it because you like the experience of giving something that you believe is beneficial to others. And you like seeing them receiving it. It's the same thing with Gary, you know? Yeah. And Gary had to rise through the fear and come to the computer and start writing stuff up. And then he had to rise to the fear of giving it to people. And then he had to rise to the fear of putting out a website and telling people what he did. And then he had to rise to the fear of coming in front of a group. It's the exact same fear. There's no difference. Some people just hide it better. That's all it is.
Yeah. It's almost physically, I feel like it physically engulfs.
It physically engulfs everybody, right? Mm-hmm. But the more you do it, there are people who would never dance. Right? And doesn't that seem weird to you?
Yeah, totally.
You know, you don't care how they dance.
No.
You just want people up there dancing. Nobody is judging anyone on their dancing, right? No one's judging you on anything you do except for you. Yeah. Now, here's a trick. If you perceive that Wendy thinks you're the best tapper in the history of the world, then the feedback you'll get from Wendy is that you're the best tapper in the history of the world. Right? So the more that you believe that, the more it will become true for you. And it will never matter what she actually thinks. And she may say, this was stupid, but it'll be out of the room, right? Or she may say to you, this is the most incredible experience I've ever had, right? And it only depends on you. Because what is this? This is your universe.
Yeah.
And it's all created by how you feel. And you can choose to feel fear. And you can choose to process fear. And the difference between being authentic and being a limited version of that authenticity that is you is how you process fear. So if you are 99.9% succumbing to fears and 0.1% living authentically, and you can raise that another 1%, then you've just enhanced that by a magnitude of 10. And your life will radically change as a result of that. So it's fine to succumb to fear, no big deal. But it's so much more authentic to process that fear and move towards where you want to go. Because when you get there, guess what's there waiting for you?
More fear.
Nirvana. Oh, yes, more fear, right. We thought you were going to say nirvana. We were going to say more fear.
Gotcha. Yes.
More fear, but guess what? This fear is going to feel less intense. Just like the second time you ever danced, and the third time you ever danced, and the last time you danced, How much fear was there?
Zero.
Zero. Right?
Yeah.
Are we not brilliant or what?
You are so brilliant, I can't even believe it.
Do you understand what we're saying?
I totally understand.
Does it understand. Make sense?
It totally makes sense.
Okay, so give us the tap.
No, I'm tapping.
Give us a little tap.
I love you, Joshua.
That is the best experience we've ever had.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nikki, I didn't ask you to demonstrate tapping. I asked you to demonstrate tap dancing.
Okay, you got it.
Genevieve?
So this is actually a question that Julie and I were asking each other this morning. I think all of us have this really strong desire to be authentic and to be, especially me, to really know who I am and what I love and what I want to explore. And we sometimes can get stuck at what is the first step. It's like could be so many options, but what is the true first step?
Excellent. You will have an idea of what you think things should look like, of where you want to go, of a plan you want to have. Okay? That's going to get in the way of your steps. If you can erase your idea of what the next step might be, or how it should look, or where it's going, or what your life should look like, mm-hmm. and just do the most exciting thing you can do in the moment, whatever that is. And that could be buying a case of Joshua books to give out to people. It could be watching TV. It could be taking a bath. It could be going on the internet. It could be suddenly getting the urge to call someone. Okay. And then you get this urge to call someone. Not even an urge. It's just a thought. Not even a thought. It's just a random thing that comes into your head. And you think, wow, I haven't talked to them for a while. Oh, they're probably busy. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're probably at work. Oh, I don't want to disturb them. Those are the fears that are going to come up on that step. Every step is going to have those stupid little fears, right? Mm-hmm. No matter what it is. I want to get lunch. Oh, I really want a cheeseburger, but I'm going to have a salad or this or that, yeah. Right? These little fears that come up. Yeah. Just do what you want to do because you don't know where that's going to lead. Okay. Because you think, if I call them now, they may not be ready for me. Something might happen. And I'm going to feel negative emotion. Mm-hmm. That's all you're afraid of. And that is an irrational fear. Because if you call someone and they're at work and they say, I'm sorry, I can't talk to you now. I'll call you later. That's not going to kill you. Mm-hmm. Right? You might feel bad about interrupting their day or whatever. But who cares? Right? You had the inspiration. That inspiration is divine. You have to take these things a little more seriously. They're not your random thoughts. Okay. This is coming from your millions, giving you these little things to do, little things to do, little things to do. And most of the time, not just you, but everyone here and everyone on earth is saying, bad timing, bad timing, bad timing, bad timing, instead of perfect timing, perfect timing, perfect timing, perfect timing. Since Gary is starting to do this somewhat more, we will say 3% more than before, he's noticing these amazing things that are happening. The timing is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So now he's just not planning anything, leaving it up to whatever happens, and going with the flow of life, right? So give up your goals. Give up your ideas of how life should be. We're going to say give up your vision boards, but that's fine. Just don't be too specific, you know? Right? Give up your to-do lists. Let the universe take care of a lot of stuff for you.
Okay.
Work on feeling good, because that's the only thing that really matters. Why is that?
So you can be inspired.
So you can receive the inspiration.
Yeah.
You see, if you're always thinking things aren't working out, then the inspiration that's going to come to you is not really inspiration. And we could say that that's coming from the devil, right? It's saying, change the conditions, change the conditions, change the conditions. Right? But if you're feeling good, then you're up here in heaven, and then all the messages are coming from God.
Yeah.
Saying, do this, do that, do what's fun, do this, don't worry about that, don't worry about this. This will be for your benefit. And when you act on inspired thought. It will always, always be for your benefit. Now, you may not understand it at the time because it might lead you into an argument with somebody. But that argument is to figure out a limiting belief and a fear. And so this process is a simple one. We'll give it to you here now, and this may end our ability to talk to anybody, because if you get this, you don't need us anymore, right? So the process is feel good, believe that you're being supported, go with the flow of whatever's happening, realize that whatever's happening is for your benefit, receive inspiration, act on that inspiration, give up your idea about what you thought your life was supposed to be like, and let all of your intentions unfold as they will.
Yeah.
Yeah. And with that, we are complete.
We just ended our career. There's no more. Because what questions can you have after that, right?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi there.
Hi there.
Oh, I'm so happy to talk to you. Finally. That's all I wanted to do.
We've been talking to you for a while.
I know. I know. How come I can't hear you all the time?
Because sometimes you're perceiving that things aren't going well.
The Bronx. Come on, baby.
She knows it.
Well, going back on what Genevieve asked about intending, and doing, you know, what you're inspired to do. So, say I'm in the middle of work or something and should I always go with inspiration? What if you guys inspire me while I'm doing massage to just go run out and, you know, go whatever, leave and yeah. Like, do I do that?
Could you do that?
I could, absolutely.
Could you? So you could be in a massage with this person who's probably asleep and then just leave. And then you wake up later and they look around and like, what happened? Where'd she go? There's certain things that you simply cannot do.
Right.
But you can do the things that you can do when you can do them.
Okay.
And it's the little fears we're talking about, not the big fears of being ridiculous, right? Mm-hmm. You will never be inspired to do anything that would go against anything that would offset what you want.
Okay.
Yeah. It'll always be these little fears we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. When this might not be inappropriate, you know.
Right.
Push that aside. What people may think of you, push that aside. You know, what you want to do is heal the person through your hands. Mm-hmm. And so you are never going to leave that in the middle. But you might walk away from an argument. Mm-hmm. You know, you might get up and leave a restaurant that doesn't feel good. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
You might drive, make a mistake and turn the wrong way down a street. You know, that's stuff that's all happening for you. Yeah. And so when you start working on the little inspirations that you get, not the life-changing ones,
right?
Wait for the life-changing ones to be more obvious, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you guys know, right? You're always there. You're never going to usually not do that to us.
There will be never anything that is not for your benefit. Highest good.
Good.
And the highest good of those around you.
Right.
So it would not be for the highest good of the person on the table unless they were in extreme pain from your incredibly strong hands.
Yeah.
And they're afraid to say anything and they're wishing that the building would catch fire so that they could leave. Then you will have a strong feeling to leave or lighten up a bit.
Thank God. You know? Thank you.
Yeah. It's an easy thing. It's nothing to worry about.
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you so much. That's all I really wanted to come up here and say thank you for.
Thank you. Well, there's so many people who wanted to hear that.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you so
much. Because you think you get inspiration and you think this is really bad timing.
Right.
This would make no sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, should I do it or not? Like, what are you doing to me, guys? Don't mess with me like that.
If you're feeling good, if you're in a high emotional state of being, then the inspiration to act is always for your highest good. If you're in an upset state of being, and the inspiration that comes to you will always be to change the conditions, right? And that's never going to be in your benefit.
Right.
The benefit is to allow the conditions to be as they are. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. If you're inspired to stand up and turn off the air conditioning, That is for the benefit of everyone here.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. And who cares what people think of you? And in this room of love, you know that no one's going to worry about it.
So
you know, do this at church and it might be a different thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. You know. Thank you so much for waking up with us and getting up so
we
early.
Just happen to always be awake.
And thank you. I have never met a most amazing group of people in my life. This has been the most amazing experience. I love you all of you. Thank you, Joshua. Thank you. Thank you. I can feel it. Thank you again. We'll see you soon.
Mark.
Marky Mark.
So we're talking about the tapping, the presentation. And, you know, we all get nervous. And I was thinking about preparing and then the balance between preparing and winging it. So I got some inspiration to prepare and I did an outline. And then I wanted to go play. I wanted to have fun and not be in the room preparing. But then you think, you know, it's good to prepare. But then I reminded myself that it's better to prepare emotionally and just get in a good feeling place and then wing it. So I just wanted to see your...
So in preparation, you get into a state of confidence.
Yeah.
And in confidence, you get into a state of flow.
Yeah.
But all you're doing by preparation is intending to get into a state of confidence and to process your fears, right?
Yeah.
So preparation is the processing of fear.
Yeah.
And as you need to do that, it's a wonderful idea.
Yeah.
And but when you were tapping, you were not doing it because of the preparation. You were doing it because the flow state that you're in.
Yeah.
The state of connection. So any way to get yourself in that state of connection and focus is valid. Whether that's a week of preparation or winging it. If you can get there, however you get there is the way to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, because I wanted to do a group tapping, which we've talked about. And then I was thinking, should I prepare? Should I give details or wing it? So I'm just trying to find that balance.
Do you have enough arms for that?
I'm fast. Yeah, so.
That's what faster tapping is all about.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
So in an individual session, with someone you know very well.
Yeah.
How much preparation time is there?
None at all.
It's easy to get in that flow state.
Very easy, yeah.
So the difference between that and a group setting, the only difference is fear.
Yes.
So the only thing you're doing is resolving that fear before you start.
Yeah.
So that you can
tap on myself.
So you're at this limited state based in fear, and you want to get into this elevated state based in love. And the difference is the processing of fear that's in there.
Yeah.
Right? And however you do it and however quickly you do it is up to you. But you will notice that the first time that you go out and dance, there's going to be fear and some preparation. You might take a year worth of ballroom dances before you even go out. And some people do that.
Yeah.
That's their preparation to process their fear. But the fear is always internal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you may go to 4 years of college in preparation to get a job.
Yeah.
And that 4 years of college is 4 years of processing fear and looking at yourself in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So who you are before you start college is different than who you are at the end. You are not better or smarter or more intelligent or really know anything more.
Mm-hmm.
But you see yourself differently.
Mm-hmm.
So you have access to information that you didn't think you had access to before, even though you did,
mm-hmm.
right? So did you get a certification in tapping? Did you go to school for that?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you could have done the same thing by watching 2 YouTube videos, right?
2 or 3.
If you could get yourself to that level yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And there are people who do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And there are people who will go to hundreds of courses and will never tap in, and all it is their ability to process whatever fear that they have based on who they think they are, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the trick here, and if we tell you this trick, it may end our careers.
Heard that before.
Is to see yourself as more magnificent and more magnificent every time, right? So when you tap someone and you get a positive response, you say, I am an amazing person. I am a magnificent person. I am the most magnificent I have ever been. I'm not more or less magnificent. We chose a word that's very hard for Gary to say. Than anyone else, right?
Remarkable.
I am remarkable. I'm not more remarkable or less remarkable than anyone else, but I am remarkable in how I do it.
Yeah.
This is my passion, and my gift and abilities and talents are going to come forth automatically.
Yeah.
Because that's what I intended prior to my birth. And I know that this is leading me towards the exploration of life that I intended.
Yeah.
And so that I do it in my own unique way. And nobody in the world can do it as I can do it.
Yeah.
It's not possible. And in that belief that I do it my unique way, and that no one before can or has ever done it this way, I access certain information that no one else has access to.
Yeah.
And that's where innovation comes from. You can't innovate unless you, one, have the desire to, and two, believe that you are worthy of that innovation. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And you believe you're worthy because you go through this unique experience of life that no one has ever lived before. So that's what makes you worthy. Mm-hmm. Your experience of life is adding to all that is, and it can never be experienced again. There's no unique, no identical snowflake, and there's no identical person or life experience or any moment there is. So everything, therefore, is processing fear. And the faster you can do it to get into the flow state, because then you're natural, when you're out with friends and you're having fun and you're talking, you didn't prepare for that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There was no, you naturally, that's your natural state of being.
Right.
So what you want to do is get into your natural state of being. And your natural state of being is that same state of being when you're with your friends.
Mm.
Right? So you want to see everyone, you see your friends as thinking that you're a good guy.
Yeah.
And loving to be around you.
Yeah.
And having fun with you. And are interested in what you have to say.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's how you see your friends. How you see a group of people is this angry mob. Right?
Yeah.
But they are really rooting for you. They really want change. And they really want you to be the facilitator of that change.
Yeah.
Right? And so the feedback you get has nothing to do with them. It has to do with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can go forth and you could do it in a crowd of a million people. Mm-hmm. And your feedback you would get would be your ability to process fear, to come into alignment with who you really are, to be your natural state, mm-hmm. no matter how many people there are, or who they are.
Yeah.
It could be the Dalai Lama, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
That's very helpful. Thanks. It gets a little tricky when you think about, well, am I preparing because it's a fear-based and I don't want to look stupid in front of people or not do a good job, or am I preparing to be more comfortable and be so I wouldn't have to think about what I have to do.
Yes.
So there's a fine line and it's
no, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
So you're preparing by removing all the fears. So there's a fear of not being of benefit.
Yeah.
There's a fear of being perceived in a way you don't want to be perceived. Mm-hmm. There's a fear of not performing. Mm-hmm. Right? So these are all, I got to process that fear and that fear and that fear and that fear so that I can get into the state. And whatever your process is whatever it is. There's no right or wrong to it.
Yeah.
You know, but all it is removing those fears and realizing, okay, if they don't see me as I want them to see me, how is that going to affect my life? Mm-hmm. Right? Maybe they'll tell their friends bad things about me, mm-hmm. right? And maybe that will mean that less people will come next time. And maybe that means I don't get to do this as a profession. And maybe that means that I won't have enough money. That things, right? So you say, okay, well, that's not going to happen. Yeah. This is my passion. I know I'm good at what I'm doing. If they say something to someone else, the other person's not even going to know what they're saying because they're not going to be a vibrational match to that, or they are, or it's not going to affect me. I'm attracting the people. See the quality of people here, right? I'm attracting people who resonate with me. I don't have to attract everyone. Right. I need to attract those who resonate with me.
Yeah.
Whether that's one or a million, it doesn't matter, right? So there goes that fear. I don't care about that fear.
Yeah.
I don't care how I look, right?
Yeah.
Don't care how I look. I want to be a benefit to others. And I am not in control of their reality.
Yeah.
Right? So what they receive is up to them. I am the facilitator of allowing themselves to receive what they need to receive.
Absolutely.
To alter their own beliefs. I'm just helping them in their universe. And they're helping me in my universe too. Because it's super expensive what I charge. Right? I get to live great. Right?
Yeah.
What's another fear that you might have?
Just I'll be nervous when I won't flow. I won't.
Not getting into the flow state.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So you say, have I ever been in the flow state before?
Yes.
Have I ever been in the flow state when I've been tapping on somebody?
Yes.
Has it always been there?
Yes.
Has there ever been a time that it wasn't there?
In groups, it's different. It's easier on one-on-one.
Has it ever been a time that it wasn't there?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
What has been the downside of that?
You just, like you were saying to Nikki, it just gets better every time. Yeah. So you practice, you get nervous.
Right. It's an experience. Yeah. I expand. It's an expansive experience. So if I'm not in the flow state, I learn from that.
Right.
Right? And I get more confident and I get close to the flow state every time.
Yeah.
So I know I can get there. And I know if I don't get there, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
They didn't rise up with pitchforks and chase me out of town. You know? All it was is your perception that you did it slightly differently than you could have done it.
Yeah.
Right. Do you ever have a conversation with somebody and you wish you would have said something?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Big deal. Yeah. You know, you weren't supposed to say that. You know? Big deal.
Yeah.
Okay. You're supposed to say whatever you say. It's supposed to work however it works because you're in its progression towards absolute perfection. Oops, you're already there.
Yeah.
You're not going anywhere. It's just a bunch of experiences.
Yeah.
And that's one experience. So you're not going to, if you don't die from the experience, then.
You'll be all right.
Right. Yeah. Then the fear about that experience is irrational. Right. If you all had experience of coming here late, right? Mark came late. Did you notice that?
No. Yes.
Okay. Is he going to die?
No.
Well, maybe, but not now, you know?
Yeah.
But it looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
So the fear of coming in late, what was that like? What was the fear as you approached this place and realized we were all here?
Wasn't too bad. I mean, I'm learning how to not worry about it from Kyla and what you said to what you were talking to about, to Julie about if I'm antsy, because, you know, if I'm antsy, it's okay to go, or it's okay to not follow the rules and care what people think. And I was better than I would have been last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So everyone is on this. Mm-hmm. Path of progression or path of expansion.
Yeah.
And it gets easier and easier. And these fears that are similar in terms for everyone. We'll say the fear is similar, but the intensity of the fear is different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the ability to process that fear is different.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you practice that, the easier it gets.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
Fabulous.
Isabel.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I've been thinking about this, and I've been thinking about energy. And I was thinking that all energy contains information. And then you gave me an analogy that all the energy exists, but just like a beam of light in the window, it activates the particles, right? So our energy, when I manifest something, I'm activating the energy, information of my desire to manifest to me. And then I'm reading this book called The Field, and it was called The Sea of Energy. And it's the field, and it's how we're all connected through this field because it was created by Source. And then you said yesterday about the apple that you said, I won't go there. But then I thought, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. That apple probably didn't exist until I desired it.
Think about the apple itself.
Yes.
On a tree somewhere.
Yeah.
The apple comes forth for one intention.
The apple itself.
Right.
For one intention, right. To live.
To experience the life as an apple.
Life as an apple.
Now the experience of life as an apple is a super limited one compared to the life of a gnat, compared to the life of an alligator, compared to the life of a human. Right?
Right, because it's more complex.
So those intentions are to be food and to bear fruit.
Huh.
Right?
Okay.
Two intentions, that's it.
Two intentions
right.
for the apple.
So it resonates and vibrates those intentions.
Right.
Okay? So the food part of that apple,
yep.
you can be a match to that. But it can't be a match to you because its intentions are just to be food or just to be bare fruit. Have the seed for a new tree. Right.
And it knows the little life force with the information in that packet, right, of that apple knows that intention because it knows it's going to be a quick cycle, right? It's going to be
Well, it's all a quick cycle.
It's all a quick
there's
cycle.
There's no
there's no
difference,
time.
Right.
Right.
right. yeah.
I'm going to get this.
So it comes forth as an apple with two intentions.
Right.
And if it's picked and eaten,
right.
it's in pure joy.
It's
because its intention has come forth.
Mm-hmm.
If a cow comes,
right.
it has two or three or four intentions, right? Mm-hmm. One of it is to be food.
Mm-hmm.
If the cow is eaten, it's in pure joy.
Mm.
Because that's one of the intentions.
Yes.
If your intention is to write a book,
right.
as you're writing the book, you're in joy. Now, there might be challenges with
sure.
that, you know?
Sure.
That's part of the expansion of becoming a writer, mm-hmm, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the act of writing is the joy part.
Right,
now, the joy
the
part
outcome.
Is in this ecstasy.
Mm-hmm.
It's this purpose,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a purpose for being here. And in your purpose for being here, you feel a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like you're alive, like you have found something,
right.
like you're interested.
Yeah.
And when you read something you've written, you feel goosebumps.
Yeah.
And you see, this is magnificent. Where did this come from?
Yeah, it's all channeled. So let's go back to that. Let's dive a little bit in the thoughts. So all thoughts are attracted. And your dimension, your vibration, you can read my thoughts. Like, it feels like you can read my thoughts, right? Like, are you
your inner gathering? Self, your inner self.
Yes.
And your guides and supporters.
Yeah.
Who are mixed in with
yeah.
all of this,
yeah.
right? Are thinking your thoughts with you.
They're thinking my thoughts with me.
Right. And it's not like they think a thought and think, oh, that'd be a good thought for Isabel. Let's shoot it over to her. Right?
Okay. Right, right, right.
Your vibration is attracting the thought and they're bringing forth the thought, but it's all happening at the same time.
And it's all, so every thought that ever exists is there, right?
And every thought that will ever exist is in existence,
and that's an,
but it has not been accessed.
Right, and that's just an informational packet, right?
Right. So the thought of the little mechanism.
Yeah.
It's shaped like a V, and it's going to go into a machine that's going to be able to transport an apple to the other side of the thing. That thought exists, of that little part that
right.
is needed for this machine.
Yeah.
But no one's accessed it yet because
they're not
they think trucks are fine to just
yeah.
drive around the country
right.
and bring
right.
the apple to the other side.
Right.
Right?
Right.
There's no desire for it, no big need.
Right.
So that little part of the universe hasn't been accessed yet.
Right. So all the information is there, and all energy contains a piece of information. Is energy information?
We'll say that the energy is the electricity that lights up the information. Smart, huh? Do you see how that your question brought forth our access to that idea?
Aww.
And that your questions and your desires for wanting to expand
yeah.
unlock all this stuff.
I know. I'm so excited. Who's coming along with me?
I am.
Okay.
Let's go.
We got information. We light it up.
Light it up.
Does anyone else want to know about energy?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, well.
What kind of?
Well, we can't access that. You have to let us know what you want to know. So you'll have to come up here and ask a question.
Hi, Joshua.
Well, hello again.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I love you. So I can be very authentic, I feel like. And I feel like things go wonderfully and I'm enjoying my life and I don't have a lot of fears. So I need you to re-explain something to me because this is where I get hung up. I get triggered by something that reminds me
of something I did not appreciate in the past.
Let's start at the beginning.
Yes, please.
You were born.
Okay.
You came in as a being of love, okay. Pure authenticity, mm-hmm. Right? So when you wanted food, you cried.
Yes.
You didn't care how loud you cried or how long you cried, right? But along the way, you were taught to be different and not to cry. Mm-hmm. And not to scream and yell when you wanted something.
Right.
You were taught to be good, okay? And that limited your behavior mm-hmm. because it eliminated the ability to cry or scream or yell or do what you want to do to get that thing you wanted.
Right.
Okay. So you came in as authentic and you became limited, a limited version of that authenticity.
Yes.
So that you could fit within society.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which is fine. But along the way, you picked up a belief. And that belief is you have to conform to what other people expect of you. And then when you are going along conforming, and I still get upset, you're like, hold on here. Mm-hmm. I'm doing what they want me to do, and they're still upset. There's something wrong here. Okay? Or the reverse is true. I'm conforming, and they should conform. And here I am conforming so that they'll conform, and then they do something that I don't like, and this triggers this belief that they should be different than they are. Right? So there's a bunch of these things that you picked up along the way. Everyone has. And you set it up that way. Okay? It's all part of expanding to where you wanted to expand. And as a emotional, highly emotional, mm-hmm. sensitive person that you are, that all of you are, you notice these things much more than other people. Mm-hmm. And other people are like, fuck it. Fuck them.
Yeah.
Who the fuck cares? Right?
Right.
What the fuck? Who cares?
Yeah. Right.
Right? But you're like, no, I care.
Yeah.
You know it? I feel it. And so I have two choices. I can make you change mm-hmm. because you're being a bastard, mm-hmm. right? And you are making me mad. Or I can say, oh, hold on, hold on. Why do I care what they do, right? It has nothing to do with me. It's them. You know, I've just been going along being good, trying to control them. And here they go off being stupid. It's not them, it's me. So I've got to relax and realize, okay, what's the limiting belief? The limiting belief is that I'm being good, so they're good. And if they're not being good, then they're not playing the game right. You know, we made this deal. That's not the belief. They should be who they are because they're perfect. And I should be able to get upset. That's fine too, right? But I'm not going to ask them to change. I'm going to sit by myself and say, all right, the belief that they have to be any way other than they're being is not helping me. And the belief that I have to be any other way that I'm being is not helping me. It's limiting. And I want a limitless experience of life. So I want to get over this stupid belief because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't help me at all. And so I'm going to rethink this idea. And then they're going to do something that's going to piss you off, right? And it's going to come up again. But this time, you're either going to feel it less or you're going to address it quicker. And then you're going to address it quicker and quicker and quicker and quicker. And in 75 years, you'll have it down. Right? Yeah. So you can either have it down now, or you can have it down 75 years, or the next life, or the next life, or the next life, or the next life, or the next life. But look where you've got.
Right.
You know, this life.
Right.
At your age.
I love it.
You know, it's pretty good.
Well, and nothing even really happens in the moment anymore. So I don't run into a whole lot of manifestation events. I don't really get the feeling of, you did this right now, you bastard. That doesn't happen to me.
Yeah.
I'll be blipping along and all of a sudden I'm like, wait a minute, that thing that happened 3 years ago fucking hurt.
Ah.
And I'm thinking about it right now when they're...
Because you were repressing it. Now you're in this new expanded level and then you're able to deal with it. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. And so you were saying, I can't deal with that. I'm going to cry if I think about that. You know, I'm going to power forward because I'm a soldier. You know?
Okay.
Right.
Okay, so that makes sense. So literally, I'm still processing shit.
Yeah.
You're all, yeah. Because.
Like from before.
Because. As Julie Ryan will tell you, people have these emotional tears from stuff that happened to them when they were 3 years old or 6 years old or 15 years old or whatever it was. And they may think, that wasn't a big deal. That was nothing. But it really hurt.
Yeah.
But it hurt because there was a limiting belief there that needed to be processed. Mm. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
And so so at the time you couldn't do it because the version of you that could handle that wasn't up to speed.
No, they weren't there yet.
Now you're getting it. Mm-hmm. And now you're thinking about these things.
Yeah.
And you can go back and rewrite history.
Right.
Right. Because who you are now is not the person you were when that happened.
No.
Right. You've gone through the experience of that. You've gone through the experience of this. You've gone through all the other experiences. You are more aware and awake. And you realize why you're here. And so now you can go back to these things and go, they did the best they could. They didn't know what was happening. I needed the information then. That sort of thing. Right. And then you can cry.
And then I can cry.
Right.
Right. And and that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I really like
you're going to make us cry.
Right. Yeah. And so
we don't cry. We're serious. We don't cry.
Not even tears of joy?
We don't have eye ducts.
Oh, okay.
That's a problem. So,
okay. I love you.
We love
you. And I will continue to rewrite those thought processes or rewrite those events. Or
as you are now. Well, right. What would you feel if this happened to you now? Well, as an awakened and aware person, I have more tools now.
Right.
I can understand that I was perfect as I was then.
Yeah.
That I had a wobble in my vibration.
Oh, and I did fucking amazing then.
And you did fucking amazing then.
Right, because I couldn't be here if I didn't.
If you had that experience, and if all of you hadn't had certain experiences, you would not be here now. Right?
Right.
You'd be with the others saying, fuck it.
Right. And I don't say fuck it.
Right.
I say I love this fucking shit.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love you. I feel good.
Kitten.
Okay. Aww. I'm complete.
I think this one might be for Isabel.
Oh, good.
You like going deep? And we're going to...
I love going deep. Let's go deep. Let's
go deep.
Because she got me thinking about something that's kind of been on my mind this morning specifically. Everybody here, well, almost everybody here, probably everybody here, falls in the same category of wanting to help people, wanting to heal people. And yet, at the ultimate level, and you said it, I'm perfect. And when I look out here, I see a whole bunch of people who are perfect. What's to heal?
There's nothing to heal.
And I know that. Then why do I want to do that?
Because it gives you joy. But if you're attached to whether they heal or not, then that's going to affect your joy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So also, from a place of joy, you can actually be of benefit. But from a place of fear, you're of no benefit.
Right.
So if you see them needing to be fixed, you're going to be inspired to things to control them so that you can feel as if you're contributing.
And I've noticed.
But from a place of perfection, as we see them, as we see you, we see nothing to fix. We're just here showing you a new perspective.
Right.
And from that perspective, you can perceive things differently yourself. And as you perceive what you consider to be imperfections as perfections, then things just get a little easier. And the resistance tends to fade away a little bit. Right? And so a life of less resistance is a life you intended. So all we're doing is helping you see the life you intended or live the life you intended with less resistance because you are saying that you would like to live a life of ease and allowing.
Right.
Right. And that's why you're here. And all we're doing is showing you how to do that. But we're not saying the life of allowing is better than a life of resistance.
True, true.
We're saying you've asked for this. This is what we're going to give you. Right. So when someone you perceive as in need of your help, right. There's a big difference between helping them when they ask you and helping them when they don't ask you, right? Because in their not asking you, they can't receive anything, nor can you. All you can receive is a manifestation event, right?
Yes. Yeah.
In you seeing them as needing your help, you see them from a limited perspective. In you seeing them as perfect, you see them from a loving perspective.
Right.
So that anything you're inspired to do from love will be of your benefit. This is your universe.
Exactly.
Right?
So ultimately, there's no one that needs healing out
and
there.
And anything inspired from fear will be a manifestation event for whoever is involved.
Right?
Because you'll be you'll be trying to change conditions you think are wrong.
I'm going to chew on that one for a little bit.
Well, it's hard to hear the answers when you're sitting in the lukewarm seat. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, but later on when you go back to it, you'll see and you'll think about experiences that you've had where this is true.
What I'm hearing is that if somebody comes to me seeking something, then the best thing I can do is see them as perfect as they already are.
Right. So you don't see them in need of anything, right. of any help, right? Right? You see them as perfect as they are, and all they need is a new perspective or something that you have to offer mm-hmm. that you can do so in joy, right? Because if it's not fun for you, then, right? If someone comes to you and says, hey, dude, you got $20, right? If you're like not into giving them $20 and you give them $20 just out of guilt, right? It's not helping them or you. But if you see someone who has a sign saying, we'll work for food, right. and you happen to have an extra burrito, there you go. Or an extra $5, and that gives you joy mm-hmm. seeing them as perfect, going through their experience, mm-hmm. and saying that, hey, how fortunate you are, you know, to have the extra $5 and that sort of
right,
thing,
right.
then why not, right? But if you think, oh, they're going to take this and do drugs, and drugs are a bad thing, right? Then that's not going to make you feel good or be of any benefit to them. But if you think, hey, I hope they can buy some good drugs with this $5,
right?
right? And have a good time, then you're of benefit, right? So it's your universe.
Exactly.
Okay? And you want to do things that make you feel good. And you can't do anything that makes you feel good if you see someone else suffering. You're always going to dip down below that line.
Right.
And if you want the conditions and anyone else to change because it'll make you feel better, well, you're not doing it for them, you're doing it for you.
Yep.
Right? Just so you can feel better. So feel better first and then do whatever you're inspired to do or not to do. If you're not inspired to do it, but you're, you know, society has this thing that you have to help people, right? That you think you should donate to a hurricane or you should donate to something, right? To feed the hungry, right? That you should do these things, but you're not inspired to. You can feel good not doing it too.
Right.
Yeah. You don't have to feel guilty for not doing it. Just see everything is perfect. Everything is happening for a reason. Express your love however that comes out. And if it comes out by not doing anything, that's good too.
Right.
Yeah. This has been an expansive experience for all of us. And we are thrilled that you could join us in this. And we never thought we could do this so early in the morning. We are thrilled by pushing through the fear and doing this anyway. We had no fear. But when you leave this room and these people, just remember how you felt while you were here in this room. And just carry that feeling, because that feeling is going to be a benefit to the rest of humanity. It flows forth into the collective consciousness of the entire world. And it's one point of love that is so powerful that you can't imagine the benefit it creates. And with that, we are complete.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.